this is Kara.
And this is Elizabeth.
And you're listening to In Transit, Two Triathletes Take on the World.
And we have a lot of fun stuff this week, I think. I'm excited about this show.
Yeah, me too. And we have lots of random things, as always. So I guess we should just get going, huh?
Yes, let's go.
So Tri 101, I guess my first thing is to update you on the marathon training. So I did my, whatever you call it, the height of my training, and I ran 20 miles on Saturday.
Nice.
And
nice.
It went pretty well. The last couple miles were pretty freaking hard. But
yeah.
But I made it, and I had an okay pace. Like, well, my overall average was slowed down because of my last 2 miles, but
yeah.
If you took those out, my average was probably around a 10-minute mile, so I was pretty happy with that.
Good. That's really good.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, after you hit the 20-mile mark, it's only a 10K after that.
I know. Yeah, I felt like, I mean, yeah, you're dying at 20, but, like, I think I can definitely do it. I mean, I'm not.
Good. I'm so excited.
I'm not going to be fast by any means, but I can at least finish it, you know?
Good, 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 good.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't shared my bad news, have I?
No, you should probably break the news.
Yeah, I am not getting to go to the marathon for lots of reasons, work being one of them.
Yeah, so, even though you're already registered, which sucks.
I know, I'm already registered. Yeah, that really does suck, really bad.
Yeah,
but
go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, but work reasons, I can't freaking go, and I'm ticked off about it, but that's okay.
Yeah, and I'm going to go anyway. I'm just going to go down there on my own, and because I've been doing all this training, I didn't want to just stop now, you know. And
no kidding,
and
yeah,
I didn't want to just, I mean, I could just run 26.2 miles here, but I'm like, no, I want to do an official race, so.
Oh, completely. Especially your first one, you should absolutely run.
Yes.
An official race, for sure.
So, it won't be as fun, but I'll get it done, nevertheless.
I'll get it done. I'm excited for you, though. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm kind of, actually, I mean, this training has been good, but in a way, I'm kind of looking forward to it being over because it's so, well, because it monopolizes your training time so much. Because,
yep, it's very, very time consuming.
Well, yeah, and you're just, well, obviously I'm a triathlete first and foremost, and so I feel like I've been totally neglecting cycling and swimming because, I go run 10 miles, I can't, like, add a 20-mile bike on there. I mean, it would mess up my marathon training, so I've just been focusing on doing that, and basically I've only had about 1 day a week to cross-train. But that,
right.
But luckily, since I'm commuting to work on my bike, I at least feel a little better, you know? Cause
yeah,
least,
and that you're not totally neglecting another part of triathlon.
Exactly. So,
right.
So, I mean, again, it's been good training and everything, but I'm looking forward to really getting back to triathlon training. So,
I know. I'm excited about this season. I can't wait. I'm just so bummed. I'm so bummed that I can't run the marathon.
I know. I am too. But, well,
I mean, all this work, I feel like it's just been for nothing. I mean, I know it hasn't been for nothing, but still,
right.
It's kind of discouraging.
At least you have a really good run base now.
Yeah, no kidding. I really do. And I've had such a good training season, too, it feels like. I don't know. I've just had a really good year or season so far. It really seems like I have. It feels like I have, anyway.
Yeah, because you have been good on the nerve problem side. You
yeah.
Know?
Exactly. My nerves have been really good, and my times have been a lot faster, and I don't know. I've just had a really good running season, so I'm just bummed that I can't go show off on a marathon, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Well, and at least you get the half marathon in there. That's awesome.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
And had a PR on it, so.
Yeah, exactly. And, okay, get a load of this. Here's a Tri 101 scoop for you.
Okay.
I volunteered at a race this week, weekend. In Arkansas. It was the Hog Eye Marathon. It was really fun. I don't know that I really volunteered for it, but I was along the course providing cheering and beverage to some of my friends that were running it. So it was a lot of fun. It was so much fun.
Cool.
It was weird to be on the spectator side of it all, but I mean, it just made, I don't know, like whenever I'm in a race, I swear to you, it makes the race go by so much faster if there's cheerleaders along the way, you know?
Yeah,
like,
well, it's
just so much easier.
It's such a psychological thing because if...
It is.
If you have...
Yeah.
Okay, just picture this. You're running along and no one's on the course. You probably feel like you can slow down and no one will, you know, only you notice. But if there's, like, 20 people on each side, you're going to keep going, you know? Like,
yeah, completely. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So another bit of good news is on Sunday, there was the, I forgot the name of it. It's the Texas Ironman, Texas Half Ironman.
Texas Man?
I think. Texas Man, thank you. Texas Man, yes. That was this last weekend. And my friend Sarah and my friend Garrett ran it this weekend. I don't really know Garrett really at all, but he's Sarah's friend. I kind of know him through Sarah.
Is it just a running thing? Or
no, it was a triathlon.
A half Ironman?
Yeah, it was a half Ironman, yeah.
Where was it?
Southern Texas in freaking... Hold on. Let me look. I've got to look. Cause
I know, because I don't think it's Texas Man. There's one in Dallas, around Dallas, that's called Texas Man, but
okay,
it's probably Texas something. I mean, I believe
it is. I just can't remember what it is. Shoot. Hold on. I'm pulling up.
See, I'm so jealous that you're in Texas because the tri-season is, like, underway already there.
I know. It was freaking 90 degrees today.
Oh, my God. It was 50 here.
I know, I saw that on our website, and I was like, what the heck? I can't believe it's 40 degrees hotter here.
Yeah.
That seems totally crazy to me.
Well, and we haven't started tri-season here yet, but they did do a duathlon this past weekend locally, and I didn't do it,
was
obviously.
Was it run by?
No, I'll tell you how I found out about it in a minute with more news.
Okay.
But the point is that at least they have that. And I didn't do it, obviously, because I had just run, I think it was on Sunday, and I had just run 20 on Saturday, so.
Yeah, no, not really up for a duathlon after 20 miles.
Yeah, and there's this other half marathon coming up, too, but it's like the weekend before the marathon, so I was like, darn it.
Yeah.
I would totally do that one, too. But anyway, you find it?
I'm running really slowly.
Okay, well, while you're looking for that, I'll fill you in on my other news.
Yeah, okay, good.
Or fill everyone in. I joined a triathlon club.
That is freaking awesome. Tell us about it.
They're called the Shoreline Sharks, and they're out of West Haven, which is the next town over from here. Here in New Haven, that is, Connecticut. And
so there's New Haven and there's West Haven?
Yeah, and there's North Haven and Fair Haven.
Lots of havens. All right.
Yeah, I got to tell you, as a side note, there's this interesting thing I've noticed about how people say the names of the towns around here.
Oh, okay. What is it?
Or just all the havens, okay? Okay, say New Haven.
New Haven?
Okay. And then say the West one.
West Haven, Fair Haven, North Haven.
Okay. All right. Yeah, exactly. Now, here's how they say it. They're like, if you say, where do you live? They're like, West Haven. It's like emphasis on the haven. You know how most of the time if there's a town and then it begins like a direction like east, west, whatever, you usually emphasize that part? You know, I do anyway, because I'm like New
Haven. Yeah, like East Haven.
I say New Haven and East Haven and West Haven. They're like New Haven, West Haven, Fair Haven. And it cracks me up. Like, because it's like, since there's so many havens, wouldn't you stress the different part, which would be the east?
I would think.
Yeah.
But I'm Southern, so I don't know.
Well, and I'm Midwestern, so I guess I just don't get it, but... But it's so funny, because there's a few people I work with that are all from West Haven. When I first moved here, they asked me where I lived, you know, I'm like in New Haven, and like, how about you? They're like, I live over in West Haven. I'm like, well, okay then. Anyway, okay.
So, okay, what about your tri group?
Back from my tangent. Okay. All right. So this tri group, it's an official USAT tri group, which is cool. So they have there's lots of benefits like discounts, and they had I went to a meeting. They have a meeting once a month, and I went to one this last week, and they had a ultra marathoner who's also a USAT coach that spoke.
Nice.
So that was really cool. And they have speakers every month, and they have a library of triathlon like books and videos and stuff that you
can check out.
Yeah. And then in the half marathon I was saying that was coming up is actually free for all the members of the tri club. And
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. It's really cool. But that's the one that's the week before my marathon, so I can't do that one. But
right.
I'm going to be tapering, obviously.
Right.
But so, yeah, and there's about, there's over 100 members. And I don't know, it seems so far so good. It seems like a pretty cool club. So.
That is really, really good. That's really good.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. So
that is exciting. I mean, that makes me want to go join a group.
Yeah, and they have a website and a forum, you know, and I told them that I'm a podcaster, so I don't know if anybody's listening, but, yeah, if there's any sharks listening, right on.
Here's a shout-out.
Shout-out to the sharks.
Okay, I found the name of the half Ironman.
Okay, what
it's
is it?
The Lone Star Half Ironman.
Oh, okay. Of course. It's something Texas-ish.
Yeah, I know. I knew it was like something. I know. I was in this whole Texas mood. I had no idea what it was. But anyway.
Okay, two of your friends did that?
Yes, they did. And she did really great. It was her first. It was her second triathlon ever.
What? And she did a half Ironman? Holy.
She did a half Ironman. And she's training for Coeur d'Alene.
Oh, what? Whoa. I said, what's her background in, athletically?
She's a swimmer, and that's it.
Oh.
She's a swimmer, and that is it. Yeah. So, that she did, like, sporadically. She wanted to get into some kind of athletics last year, mm-hmm. and her husband's like, why don't you get into triathlon? She's like, no, that doesn't sound like fun.
Seems so random. Out of all things.
Completely.
Oh, is he a triathlete?
No, he's not. He does jiu-jitsu, I think.
But he's just like, oh, how about triathlon?
Yeah, I know. Right. I don't know where that came from. But anyway, so she did a triathlon, triathlon last year, and she signed up the next day for Coeur d'Alene. This is her second triathlon since even then.
So how did it go?
It went really well for her. She was really happy with her times and everything. Of course, she's a really strong swimmer, so... that went really good for her. She's actually going to be my swim coach.
Oh, yeah. You've talked about her before.
Yeah, yeah. So,
have you started swimming with her yet at all?
No, I haven't done anything triathlon related because I've been running the whole time.
Oh, that's true.
But actually, I've been weight training a lot lately. Yeah. But basically, I've just been running and doing weights. So trying to get my back stronger. But... anyway, so she had a really good time. She did it in 6:45, which was good for her. It's what she wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So her swim went really well. Her bike was really tough. The first loop, it was a two loop mm-hmm. course, and she said her first loop was really hard, but the second loop was really good, and there was lots of crosswinds and stuff like that. So she was battling with all that. But her run didn't go as good as she anticipated. But she ran, walked the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
But so she said she learned a lot. I can't imagine, honest to God, I can't imagine walking into a half Ironman I can't imagine walking into one right now. And I've done several triathlons.
I know.
And
that's
much
crazy.
Less one. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, 'cause, I mean, yeah, Well, I guess at least you had done one. That's a good start. But,
yeah.
You know, you learn every one you do, you learn more tricks and ways to be more efficient. And, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what I want to do this season, and I'm not – I'm kind of half Ironman on the radar, but I'm not 100% sure just yet. So, holy cow! I can't even believe that. I'm glad she was happy with how she did and everything. So.
Yeah, she was happy. I mean, she's like, you know, she said that, and I've heard lots of people say this. She said that it's very lonely out there. And she said at one point she looked ahead of her and she looked behind her, and literally she said she could see no one on the run, and she's like, it's a lonely sport. That's discouraging, but
it's an individual sport. Yeah,
it really is. Yeah, it really is. But so, and that was the whole point. But she was individually happy with her time. She did really well, and so I'm excited for her that she did so good. I'm nervous for her, and I was talking to her last week, and she said that I'm the first person who's been completely honest with her, as far as like the Ironman goes. I'm like, dude, seriously, this isn't anything to joke around about. I was like, you've got your work cut out for you. And she's like, you're the first person who's told me that.
Like, what,
like,
is
well,
everybody
no
else
joke.
Just, everybody else just like, oh, cool, cool.
Yeah, everyone's also like, you're going to do it. You're going to be awesome. And I'm like, you better work. I mean, you better work. I'm just nervous for her.
If she's brand new, she's probably talking to non-triathletes telling her that, you know?
No, she's not at all. Because
really?
She's really not at all. We have a lot of mutual friends, and they're hardcore triathletes. I mean, even Ironman. And so they're all like, you can do it. And, I mean, I'm just like, you know what? This is scary to me. I can't imagine. I just can't imagine. That's just me.
Well, isn't Coeur d'Alene in June?
It's in 2 months and like 12 days.
Oh my God! What has she been? Has she had a coach or anything? Or
yeah, she has a coach. She has a coach.
Okay.
She's had him for several months now. But
that's good.
I mean, she's a super strong swimmer, which is great for her.
Yeah.
Like she did her swim at the half. In under 40 minutes, and everyone's swim times were really, really high at that race. So, like, she's a really good swimmer.
That's good.
But her bike is, you know, pretty average, and her run is, you know, pretty average, maybe a little slower than she would probably like.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm just excited for it. I'm so glad that she's doing so well, and I just hope she keeps up her training. She's taken off a few days this week, and understandably so. But anyway.
Whoa. Well, we'll have to give an update, you know, in a month or two.
Yeah.
Or, well, April, May. Yeah, well, in a month or like, right before she does it.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah.
No, I should interview her, actually. That would be good.
Yeah, you should. Like, we should do a pre- and a post-interview.
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. Especially since it's good. Such an interesting thing where how that's only going to be... Is she doing any more before then?
No.
Races? Okay, so
no.
It'll be her third race.
It will be the Ironman will be her third triathlon, yes.
My gosh. Okay. Okay. Wow.
I know. So anyway, Sarah rocks and Garrett rocks, and you guys totally rock. I'm so excited that they finished and it's over.
And I'm jealous up here in the Northeast. Are jealous of you Texans and your tri season starting early.
And our weather.
Well, only right now, not when it gets too hot.
Yeah, Lord. I thought it was too hot today, actually.
90 is pretty freaking... Actually, I went running tonight, and it was 50, and that was, like, perfect weather, you know?
Yeah, that would be ideal. That would be
great.
Ideal. You know what, Kara? I was so mad this weekend whenever I was at the half marathon, and where it was, Arkansas is extreme... I mean, it's the Ozark Mountains. We were literally in the Ozark Mountains, and it's so silly, but I stopped at 5 points on the half course.
Yeah.
And I was so upset when the race was over. I was like, I should have freaking ran this thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't.
Man,
I was so mad. Yeah, the half.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I probably even could have ran the actual marathon. But, I mean, it's so hilly. That would have been some really good hill training for me anyway.
That's
if I would have done the half, that's for sure. But it's just a really, really hard course. But my friend did really good. I'm super excited.
Cool. Was it a pretty course, too?
Oh, it's Arkansas. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
So, okay, do you have any more Tri-101 updates?
I don't think so. I think that's it.
I think so, too. Before we move on, we have some exciting news. Three listeners called in after Elizabeth and I finished recording, and I would like to play those voicemails for you. First is from Scott, and he is our listener from Florida, but he's actually in Australia right now doing some vacationing and also doing some triathlon and training over there. The next one is from Katie in Omaha. She called in to update us on basically a nutrition question she had that we talked a little about on a previous episode. And then finally we have a message from Red Bull, aka Jameson from Boston. And he just gives us a little update on what's going on with him. So without further ado, here are those voicemails.
In Transit Duo, this is Scott D'Angelo from Australia calling. Been over here for a month now. Enjoying it. It's a great triathlon state, great little triathlon town. I did Adelaide, did some races there, and then went to Malulaba and raced there and was able to rub elbows with the likes of Emma Snowstill, Vanessa Fernandez, Annabelle Luxford, Simon Thompson. And then from there, went to Port Macquarie, where Ironman Australia was going on, and was able to rub elbows with Cameron Watt, Lisa Bentley, Jason Shortis, Craig Alexander, Belinda Granger, Melissa Ashen, just to name a few. There was several others were there too. That some names that you might recognize from Canada. Mike Neal was there, and let's see, there was really nobody else from USA other than Katya Myers that we know of that was an elite. Other than that, off to Sydney, having a great time, training a lot, just loving it over here. If anyone ever has a chance to come over here, do it. And that's it. I'll be back in the US of A real soon. Miss you guys. Miss you, Elizabeth. Ben Harper was great. Yes, he should have been there. Tomorrow I'm going to an all-day music festival here called The Great Escape. It's like ACL. And that's it. Hope you all are having a great time. And see you soon. Bye.
Hi, ladies. This is Katie from Omaha. And I was just calling to update you guys on my nutrition question that I had that I emailed you a while back. I have tried a few things that have worked and a few that haven't. But some of the best things I found were I've been using the kids' Cliff bars because I figured there was nothing in those that people wouldn't want kids to have. And those have sat really well with me. The Snickers Marathon bars I've been using, but not during training, just afterwards or, an hour beforehand. And then the other thing that we found at the grocery store at Whole Foods was organic smushed fruit. It's kind of like a organic no-sugar fruit roll-up, and those are really fantastic for quick calories. I think there's not a lot of calories in each one, but 35 in each one, but they're half a serving of fruit per flat. So if you guys have any better thoughts, let me know, and hope all your training is going good. Thanks. See ya.
Hey, Kara Elizabeth. This is Jamie, also known as Red Bull from Tri-Scoop Forums. Just wanted to say hi. I was driving back from Boston to visit my parents in Connecticut. It is Saturday of Easter weekend. So I'm actually not too far from Kara's stomping grounds in New Haven right now. Thought I'd call in, say hello. I'm prepared to do a nice 4-miler once I get home. I've been very busy running around Boston, but it'll be nice to get into the backwoods of Connecticut and actually do some trail running this afternoon. But that's what I'm looking forward to, and I'm currently training for the Mooseman Triathlon. It will be my first Olie in June of this year. So just driving back to visit the parents this weekend. Listen to some In Transit Duo. You guys mentioned the number, and I'm not sure if anybody's actually called in yet, but thought I would call and say hello. So love the show. Keep it up, girls, and I will talk to you guys later. Keep it up. Bye.
It's time for this week's Soap and Stellar, and we are super excited to give you some good news about what goes about. Kara, go ahead.
Okay, so we finally got our acts together and updated our website, and now we have a most fabulous, fantastic, magnificent Frapper map. But it's only as good as you listeners make it. Because
exactly. We
want to see kind of where everyone is coming from, and we're asking for each of you to add yourself to our Frapper map so we can say hello.
And okay, for those of you who don't know what a Frapper map is,
it is a map
of the United States that puts little pegs in the location in which you reside. So, like, if you are putting in your name, like, all you have to do is actually go to the map on our website and plug in your name and your email address, and it automatically says where you live. And if it's wrong, like, I just did it today. I plugged in where I lived, and it said that I was in San
Angelo.
Somewhere in Texas where I wasn't. So I just changed my location. But so it pegs where you are on the map in the whole world. So it's really cool. So it lets us know where our listeners are and all that.
Yeah, it's not, it when it pops up, it looks like it's just the U.S., but I think you can do anywhere in the world.
Yes, you can.
And
it's really exciting.
I know, I'm totally stoked. And Elizabeth and I are already on there, so you can check out where we reside.
Yeah, I was looking at you today, and I couldn't figure out how to get off of you. I was just like, get off of the Northeast. I couldn't figure out how to do it, but I finally figured it out. It's really user-friendly, but I was just stupid. I couldn't figure it out. So, yeah, please go by and plug in your location so we can get excited about it later.
And our website is www.intransitduo.com.
Yes.
And we should put another plug out there for our hotline. It is 920-482-4822. Is that right?
So if you're just reluctant, yeah, that's right. If you're just reluctant to go online and put in your location of where you are and a picture and all that cool stuff, just call our hotline and be like, hey, I'm calling from blah, blah, blah. And we'll love to hear that too.
Yeah, exactly. We want to hear how your training's going and whatever comes to mind.
And whatever you're stoked about.
Yeah, let us know. So we're always interested. We're here to listen. Even though it seems like all we do is talk, we like to listen too.
Okay, so I guess that's what we're stoked about this time.
I think that's
pretty stellar.
We've
got a super stellar map.
It's time for Word of the Week. You ready for this?
I think I am. Do I get to guess again this week? Because I'm excited.
Yeah. I guess we have a trend going where I come up with
the word. I know, we do. We do.
Okay, but this one I think you might know. Because I think you...
Don't give me that much credit.
I think you have at least heard this word before. Okay,
okay.
You ready?
Yes.
The word is quixotic.
Oh, that's totally my word. Totally my word.
Okay. See, I knew you probably knew this one. And
yeah, I love that word. I love it.
I almost thought we used this one before as a word of the week, but I don't think we have.
We haven't, but I've said it in conversation.
Okay. I know. I really like this word, too. And I was just thinking of it, and I'm like, oh, that would be a good word of the week. So it's
okay, let me spell it. Is it Quixotic?
Yep, Quixotic.
Yay!
Now, let me just give you the since you know what it is, just explain it.
But you have the definition, right?
Yeah, I have, like, the official, unofficial.
Okay.
The official, unofficial definition.
It's officially the unofficial definition. Okay. Quixotic, in the way I use it, is kind of like, I use it whenever I think about daydreaming and stuff, like romantic beliefs or feelings that I have that I'm just kind of daydreaming. That's kind of the way I use it.
That's okay. I think that fits. It's an adjective, and here it basically means this. It will, first of all, the word comes from Don Quixote. That's the reference.
I love that book.
I know, me too. It's one of my favorites. So Don Quixote, everybody knows, you know, he's kind of a hopeless romantic. Okay, so here's what the different definitions are. It's absurdly chivalric, foolishly impractical, capricious,
mm-hmm.
Capricious or unpredictable.
Capricious? Really?
Yeah. Like impulsive.
Interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought capricious. That's interesting. See, if you go to Webster.com,
mm-hmm.
when I looked this word up last year when I discovered it, and I remember in Webster that it said romantic. I know romantic was in the definition. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's like absurdly chivalrous, you know.
Yeah. I guess so. That's true.
It's like it's like.
But not like romantic, like I want to kiss you, but like romantic, like thoughts of like.
Like romanticism. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. I can't think of a better adjective to use in this case, but yes, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, whoops. I'm trying to go to Merriam-Webster, but I put in Webster-Merriam. Okay, I'll tell you exactly what it says under that.
Oh, good. Okay.
Give me just a minute. Okay, here's what the Merriam-Webster definition is. Foolishly impractical, especially in the pursuit of ideals, especially marked by rash, lofty, romantic ideas or extravagantly chivalrous action.
Extravagant. That's the word I was looking for. Yes, extravagant. Yes.
Quixotic.
I know. I love the way that
Merriam-Webster
says it.
When it pronounces it online, it's like quixotic.
Quixotic. I know. I love the way that guy says it. I completely remember looking that up last year. I remember where I was and everything. That's weird.
Yeah. But.
Okay, so good. That's our word of the week. That's stellar.
Yeah, so your challenge is to use that sometime this week in a sentence, in conversation.
So for In the News this week, we have...
First, a special announcement.
And ooh, what's that?
That is that one of our good friends and listeners, Triceratops, out in Cleveland, Ohio, it has... in addition to her family in the works, because she's with child.
That is so exciting.
I know.
And this is Triceratops, the one that you went running with just a few months or a few weeks back.
Yeah, and actually, she was pregnant then, and she told me she had found out right after we had run together, she found out and she told me, but she's like, keep it on the down low, you know, we want to wait a little bit until everything, you know, everything checks out, and so, and so she could, you know, tell her family and stuff first, so, yeah. So now...
That is so exciting.
Now she says it's cool to tell everybody, so...
To release the information. She's going to have a little baby triathlete.
I know! We got to get, like, a little bike going and stuff.
Oh, we'll have to call Brett and Emily and ask them what kind of bike Kai uses.
Yeah, or like ask him about getting a baby jogger and stuff.
Yeah, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. I love baby talk.
I know.
Which brings us to our our staple in the news topic, right?
Yes, because we decided this week we're going to, in honor of Triceratops soon to be a new mother, we are going to highlight on pregnancy. Okay.
Yes.
So here's the story that I found, and it's from the Chicago Tribune. And basically, it's talking about pregnancy and weight gain.
And how it impacts the child.
How it impacts the child, and also the stigma with just Americans in general, and how we are obsessed with our weight.
Right, and how we perceive weight as a country. I mean,
yeah.
As a culture, not as a country, but as a culture.
Yeah, and I guess not only the U.S. either, so.
No, yeah, I think you're right about that. But, okay, so basically what this story is talking about, and again, it's found in the Chicago Tribune. You can actually find it online.
Yeah, and it was posted April 2nd. And the headline is, Are You Pregnant or Fat?
Right.
Nice, huh?
And the conjunctive story that goes with that is pregnancy weight gain may impact child.
Right.
And so that's based on the study that backs this article.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead. Do you want a synopsis?
Yeah, but
for us?
Basically, the story starts off with this lady saying that she was outside of her local YMCA and she was pregnant with her second child, and another lady stopped and asked her if she knew where the Weight Watchers meeting was.
Oh, God.
Ouch. Ouch. So,
ouch.
Yeah, so basically, she got home and asked her husband, like, do I look fat, you know, and all this. And
yeah.
So that segues into the guts of the story where they talk about how there's pregnant women are very self-conscious about how much weight they gain these days, not only out of vanity, but also because there's at least one study that's been released that is questioning the acceptable amount of weight that is healthy to gain when you're pregnant.
And so, yeah, exactly. Basically, there are certain guidelines that have been implemented in the U.S. where doctors pretty much follow this parameters of weight that a woman should gain. And so I think the root of the story is, or the root of the article is, do all women fall between these parameters within these guidelines that are set for the U.S. people that are getting pregnant? And so there's lots of comments on this article by all of them. I read every single one of them, and every single one of them are women, except for the last entry. Did you read them, Kara?
I didn't read all of them, but that, to me, the most interesting part was all the comments that people wrote.
Me too, yeah. And one of them, I just have to make a note of this, one of them is called Healthy Mama, and I thought that was really cute. But anyway, the last comment is from a man, and I just want to read this first sentence. I think this column is less about pregnancy and more about obesity. Pregnancy is not a valid excuse to be fat. Obesity is traveling the same path as smoking. It's pretty hard to hide being a smoker, and obesity is not far behind. What do you think about that?
I think that is pretty interesting. I mean, I don't know. It's just such a touchy subject. I mean, there's so many variables to consider because...
I know, exactly.
I mean, you have all different attitudes about it. There's some... I mean, most of our listeners, being triathletes, they're probably all right, you know? They're probably actually too obsessed with their weight gain as far as be worried about gaining too much, you know?
Well, I don't know. I think we've got a subgroup of our listeners that are maybe overweight and they're trying better.
That's true. Yeah, well, but I guess I also wonder, I mean, I can't speak too much on this topic because I've never been pregnant myself, you know?
Yeah.
But You know, I wonder also how many people would, like that last comment suggested, how people might use pregnancy as an excuse to gain, or, you know, to binge and to not really take care of yourself as far as being conscious of what you're consuming.
Right. Well, I'd say half of the comments that were posted on this article, half of the women said that that they ate perfectly and they exercised religiously and they did everything they could and they still were overweight, excuse me, or they still were over the guideline of what weight they should gain. And of course, I mean, statistically and historically, I think it's pretty much a given that with every child you're going to gain more weight.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that's on average. I would think that was pretty mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think there's something to be said for the guidelines that are in place right now as far as health goes for the average woman. And I think also the guidelines that are in place right now based on individuals, that there are certain people in a certain weight bracket that can gain 30 pounds with a baby and be completely fine.
Mm-hmm.
But there's certain people in a different category that really shouldn't gain 30 pounds. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, yeah, it kind of depends on partially on how healthy they are to begin with.
Right. So what do you think about people who vigorously work out when they're pregnant just so they don't gain weight?
I don't know about that. I mean, I guess that's something I've always wondered about, is what the recommendations are as far as working out when you're pregnant. I mean, I know you can still work out, but I don't know to what extent, especially incorporating triathlon kind of stuff in there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That actually, it would be really interesting to interview Triceratops in the future once she's a few months along and find out kind of what her doctor has recommended as far as what she needs to stop doing or what she can continue doing as far as her triathlon.
Yeah, that actually would be really, really good.
Yeah.
That would be really good. There is a lady that commented on this article who is a triathlete.
Oh, really? I didn't even see that.
Yeah.
Which one is it?
I'm trying to find it. Give me 1 second.
While you're looking for that, just one comment. Another thing we should point out about the study that they mentioned in the story, the whole point of that, or the finding in that study, is that depending on how much weight you gain, if you gain too much, it could increase the risk of having an overweight child. Like an overweight,
right.
Well, actually not an overweight baby necessarily, but like even years down the line.
Toddler.
Like
yeah, a toddler.
So that's another reason why women have become even more concerned about what's acceptable weight and how, you know, what they should be eating or not eating and exercising or not doing or not doing, you know.
Right.
So especially, and I think if anything, one thing we could probably generalize to our listeners is that they're at least health conscious. You know, they're at least...
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Or aspire to be, right?
Yeah, or they like to collect information, and so they're probably interested. If any of our listeners are women or, men, their wives or whoever got pregnant, they probably are at least interested in getting all the facts that they can.
Right. Exactly.
So
okay, I found the triathlete lady. Her name is Mary C.
Okay.
And in the last paragraph of her comment, which she had a pretty long comment, but in the last one she said, "I gained 7 pounds in the first month of my pregnancy. This while running, biking, and swimming at a high level. And my kids are normal to below weight right now. It has been more linked to healthy eating habits at home, exercise patterns, and what kids see mom and dad doing." And, you know, I have to say I agree with a lot of that. I really do. I think a lot of it is completely behavioral. I have no idea. I haven't researched any of this. And knowing you and me, Kara,
we have to research everything we say. But without researching any of it, I would say that I think it's an individual thing as far as weight gain goes during pregnancy. But I have to say, I have to admit that I would think, just off the top of my head, if the mother does gain a lot of weight during pregnancy, I would think that the baby would be an overweight baby.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's all subjective, I guess. But I don't know.
Well,
it's tough. It's tough.
I'm interested to know. I mean, I know they cited this one study, but I'd like to read that study, the actual article. And also, you did?
Yeah.
Oh. What did you find? You mean you looked up from the journal?
Yeah.
Oh, what did you find from that?
It's an Associated Press. It's based on the Associated Press, and I haven't linked that back to the actual journal article.
Oh, the study is in the April issue of the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology.
Obstetrics? Okay,
yeah.
See, I want to read that. I would like to read that article, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the authors, Dr. Emily Okin of Harvard Medical School is the lead author. She's the primary author.
I would like to read that.
Yeah.
But the Associated Press article is Pregnancy Weight Gain May Impact Child by Malcolm Ritter.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and one of the things they're talking about is that the amount of weight recommended is based on BMI. You know.
Okay.
So
nothing makes me more mad.
Body mass index, and that's a whole other issue. Is a messed up scale in itself, and so that could be the root of these recommendations being off.
Completely. That I completely believe in, because BMI makes me so angry. I hate that BMI scale. I hate it.
Yeah.
Because that just, to me, that means nothing. Unless you're doing some kind of, I don't know, impedance or some kind of test that you're doing. I don't know. I just don't agree with the whole scale.
To me, it's something that should be used at the population level, not the individual level. And so it's like this instrument that is being used incorrectly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally. I completely agree with you.
It's based on an average school. It's based on data at the population level, and you can't translate that to an individual level.
Right. But, okay, let's get down to the other subject, though, of what Americans view as overweight and underweight.
Okay.
What do you think? Okay, I'm just trying to get to the basis of how Americans look at weight and what is acceptable and what's not. So, in your opinion, this is putting you out on a limb here, sorry.
Okay, that's
but
okay.
In your opinion, what do you think the average fit female, what size she wears?
Clothing size?
Yeah, like as far as pant size go.
Well, I mean, that's hard to say. That's hard to say because of height differences and that kind of thing. But I would say between, I would say probably a 10 or below.
Mm-hmm.
Or, 12 or below, maybe.
Yeah.
10.
I would say probably 12 or below.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I would say, too. But, I mean, do you think that's skewed because we're Americans?
Maybe. Or you mean skewed as in it's larger than normal?
Yeah. Because, I mean, the American size 12 is not at all the European size 12. Not even close.
What, is it bigger?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot bigger. Yeah, it's a lot bigger.
That's true. Well, yeah.
Do you remember whenever we were trying on clothes when we were overseas?
Oh, yeah.
And I picked up my size and I was like, oh, my gosh, I couldn't even put it on.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that when we were trying to look at jeans and we couldn't figure out, we tried on every size. I think I tried on, the biggest size in the store and it didn't even come close to fitting me.
I know.
And I'm not that big.
Just American and stupid and fat, or what? I can't figure it out.
I'm like, well, here's how I judge it. I don't necessarily think about numbers. I think about, okay, if I can go run 10 miles and be and not be dying, then I must be in okay shape.
Yeah, that's actually, yeah, I kind of agree with you on that, too. There's something to be said for that.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I guess we should get to a point. The point of this whole story, I guess, the thing that sparked my interest about it was that, first of all, that, you know, Americans, not only Americans, but especially Americans are obsessed with their weight in one way or another, and always looking for the easy out to try to lose weight, or, you know, and then secondly, that now this, well, maybe I've just been blind to it, but now it's even get, like, grown into pregnancy where there's this obsession with staying thin, yeah, basically, which seems absurd to me, but then again, maybe over the years, people have, you know, used pregnancy as an out. I hate to say that, but, you know.
I know what you mean.
I know a lot of, like I said, obviously I've never been pregnant, but I know a lot of people who are like, oh, it's so great, I can eat so much more now, you know, or.
Yeah.
But they also don't necessarily eat that healthy either. They're like eating a big slab of chocolate cake.
right.
You know, so.
And one of the comments on the article that I read was that the tabloids and everything are publicizing the celebrities that are getting fat because they're pregnant. But in reality, when these people start out at double zero size, you know, and for people who don't know what that is, that's really, really freaking small. Mm-hmm. And for people who are getting pregnant and, you know, blossoming to a size 8, that is not fat. I mean, that's not fat at all.
Yeah.
So when we're seeing people on the tabloids that are saying, oh, Britney Spears is gigantically huge because she wears a size 8 now when she's pregnant, and that's kind of giving Americans a skewed viewpoint, you know? It's kind of, it's sad.
It is. Exactly. And I don't know, and part of me, I guess I should just say, I don't really know exactly what my opinion is on this topic, but I just mainly just think it's sad how much weight issues have taken over our world, you know? And, like, what size you are, and how perfect, everything has to be perfect, you know. Or I had to make this comment actually.
Okay, good.
It's kind of a side.
Make it, Kara. I'm excited.
It's kind of a side. It's kind of a tangent, but I think you'll get it. Okay, so I went to the dentist recently, right?
What? Okay.
And good thing, you know, got a regular cleaning or whatever. But I have, my teeth aren't perfect, you know, along the bottom. I have, like, they're not exactly straight, but I never had braces when I was a kid. Because I didn't, I mean, they're not, like, super crooked or anything, right?
Right,
and so the hygienist was the one that cleaned my teeth, and then the dentist came and double-checked everything, right? Well, she was asking me if I had ever thought about getting braces, and I was like, no, not really. My teeth have never really bothered me all that much. Well, it was interesting to me. The dentist said, he was like, well, to be honest, you know, he's like, you know, I'm a married man and everything, and I'm not. No, hang on.
Okay.
He's like, I'm a married man and everything, and I'm not trying to, like, smooth talk you or anything, but sometimes the flaws, you know, slight flaws are what makes people attractive, you know?
Yeah.
And that perfection isn't always the best thing. And I was like, you know
what?
That is such a good point, you know? Like, I think we've all started to get so caught up in being looking perfect that we have this like totally out of touch ideal in our head that the majority of the population cannot meet.
Right.
And it's just
okay.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Totally. I read an article 4 years ago. Not kidding. I remember this article so well because I was like so ecstatic about it. 4 years ago in like Cosmo or something ridiculous is the top 10 things that people normally wouldn't think guys find attractive was the name of the article.
Uh-huh.
And the number 3 thing was a slight crooked tooth.
Whoa. Okay.
Isn't that strange? I know.
Yeah, that is weird.
I know. I thought so too. But yeah, I think your dentist is completely right. At first I was kind of mad. I was like, what? No way he didn't say that. But yeah, I think he's right.
No, but he's basically just saying that. And I don't know, I just thought that was just really cool that coming from him where, you know, most people are just out to make the money and whatever.
Right.
And he was just saying, you know, he's like, honestly, I don't think your teeth are all that bad. And he's like, you know, a lot of times that's what makes someone attractive, that gives them a little more character, you know, something to not have exactly perfect teeth. And he said that his wife's teeth aren't exactly perfect, and that's one of the things he loves about her.
Aw, that's sweet.
Yeah, so I was just like, exactly. You know, exactly. So.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay, so yeah, that wraps up our extremely long in the news.
Exercise your brain. Time has arrived. First, we must wrap up, or wind up, whatever you want to call it, and give you last week's answer. So, or last show, I should say. So, here is what we asked. We told you a quote and gave you the different people who may have said it, and you were supposed to guess which one was right. So, here's the quote again. The work of the individual still remains the spark that moves mankind forward. I like that quote. That's good.
I do too. What were the options?
The options were Henry Ward. Henry Ward Beecher, Ralph Richardson, Nelson Mandela, and Igor Sikorsky.
Okay, my guess is Nelson Mandela.
Nope. It's Igor...
Is it Sikorsky?
Yeah, Sikorsky.
Yeah, that was my second guess.
So, again, it's the work of the individual still remains the spark that moves mankind forward. And I just think that's cool, because I feel like that kind of relates to triathlon, because it's an individual sport, and it's just all of, you know, our work and our training, it's we're moving things forward, and little by little, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even if...
Yeah, that's a good quote.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Okay, so this week's Exercise Your Brain was... I was sitting in a doctor's office yesterday waiting for... Well, I do work there. So, but on the screen, on one of the flat screens that they had showing, they were showing like a health network thing. And one of the questions, they did surveys. And one of the questions that flew up on the screen was, which U.S. city has the cleanest air?
Okay.
And I thought that was interesting because I was like, you know, air really has a lot to do with everything, because especially if you're in a big city, you're not supposed to run during high traffic times because the air is pretty bad.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to run early in the morning before traffic starts or later in the evening whenever rush hour isn't happening.
Wait, so it gave
us options.
Asking which of the big cities has the cleanest air?
No, not even that. It's which U.S. city has the cleanest air.
Okay.
And it gave a multiple choice. And so here's the multiple choice.
Okay.
And here's the question I posed to you.
Before you give them, I'm guessing that it's in the north somewhere.
Okay.
But, okay, go ahead.
Okay. The options are Los Angeles, California.
No.
Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Possibly.
Or Rapid City, South Dakota.
Ooh. That's
I know.
Just those three?
Yeah, just those three.
I'm thinking Wyoming, probably.
Well, you'll find out next week, Kara.
Dang it. Okay. All right. Yeah.
So,
wait,
yeah.
I don't know, though. With South Dakota, maybe, too. But I kind of think...
I know. Those are tough choices.
I kind of think it's Wyoming because it's higher. It's higher up.
You mean as far as altitude goes or because it's more northern?
Altitude.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that really factors in, but that's how my logic's going.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so the three choices are Los Angeles, California, Cheyenne, Wyoming, and Rapid City, South Dakota. So if you have an answer, feel free to email us or hit our website at www.intransitduo.com or call our hotline at 920-482-4822.
We'd love to hear from you.
All right, it's time for the No Name Nutrition section. And this week we're going to talk about a little bit of nutrition on how we deal with our long runs and how we plan on dealing with marathons. So, Kara, what do you plan on doing?
Basically, what I've been doing for my marathon is I have a fuel belt, which is awesome, by the way. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I fill up, it has four bottles, and I fill two with Powerade and two with water, and then I take a couple of goos with me. But when I went on my 20-miler, but, okay, I had to say, I definitely eat really well before I go on my run, like an hour or two prior. So
okay, like what do you eat before your runs? Because I have a very specific thing I eat before I run.
Oh, well, I should probably be more consistent, but it kind of depends on the time of day when I do my run.
Yeah, okay, no, that's good.
If I run in the morning, I'll just eat like breakfast, like cereal and an orange maybe, and I don't know, that kind of thing, like breakfast food.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's lunch time or more in the afternoon, like this past weekend I had like a turkey and cheese wrap that I made, and pretzels, and what else do I have? I don't know. Something else. It's something else, but basic, like, lunch-type food, you know? And,
right.
Oh, I think I had I had tapioca pudding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that was, I basically just try to load up on some calories.
Right.
But I was just looking at my, just before I forget this, my marathon, they're going to have Gatorade and Cliff Shots are their
nice
stuff. But I've been using Powerade, but Gatorade's fine too. It's,
yeah.
It's about the same amount of calories and stuff. And then Cliff Shots, I've been using Goos, so I think I'm just, that's what we're going to talk about is I asked Elizabeth what she used during her marathon. And, ooh, we should tell them about, for the ladies out there, a tip for where to store your goos.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what I was asking Elizabeth. I went on my long run. Oh, so I keep interrupting myself. Okay. So I eat something good before I go for the long run, and then I take my fuel belt with the four bottles, two with Powerade, two with water, and then I take a couple of
goos. Now, okay, sorry to interrupt you. You've got four bottles, which are 4 ounces each, right?
8 ounces each.
Okay, all right,
so
go ahead.
So it's 32 ounces.
Okay.
So actually, I kind of wish I would have a six-bottle one, but it's all right. And I also take some money with me. So
okay.
When I went on this 20-miler, I went out, and on my way back, when I have about 4 miles left, I go right by this gas station. So I stopped there and got some more water.
Mm-hmm.
but I had drank all of my bottles, and I took one goo by the time I was done with 16 miles.
And so you took one goo?
Yeah.
Okay.
But like I said, I took a goo right before I went on the run too.
About
15 minutes before. So I ate like an hour and a half before. I took a goo like about 15 minutes before I left for my run, and then I had another goo at 10 miles.
Okay.
And then I was drinking all along the way. And then when I got to 4 miles left, I stopped at the gas station and got water and filled up my bottles and then drank some more. So.
Okay. All right.
And I was fine with that. I seemed fine. And I think...
You know, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm surprised you were fine with that.
I know. Actually, I think my stomach is becoming more tolerant. I think all this training has made my stomach a lot tougher. Actually, I used to not be able to run. If I ate anything, I wouldn't be able to run for, like, at least 2 hours. Otherwise, I'd feel sick, you know?
Right, and that's why I'm surprised that...
Now I can run, or I can eat something, and less than an hour later, I can run it and feel fine.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with training. So
I do, too. I think I'm just getting my gut used to it. And I think actually having, like, basically out of necessity, having to take goos and drink Powerade and stuff, I'm getting more tolerant of it. Because before, when I was just doing sprint triathlons or Olympics, where in training, it's not as high a volume, or you're not out, like, where you... Well, like, on the bike, you can carry more... variety with you, you know? Anyway, point is, when you're marathon training, you're just running and you don't have a lot of options, so you just kind of have to, you have to take what you got to take. And I was trying to train so the things I was using would be at least, maybe not the exact brand of what they're going to have at the race, but at least the same type of stuff. So if they're going to have cliff shots on the course, then I should be training with at least some type of gel. So that way I'm planning on taking my own gels, but just in case something would happen and I didn't have any for some reason, then that way I can use theirs on the course and be okay. And then, same with, like, using Powerade. They're going to have Gatorade, so that's pretty comparable as far as calorie content and what's in
definitely.
It.
Definitely. So. Definitely. Yes, I agree with you completely on that.
So I'm trying to stay simplistic in that regard.
Good. And, I think that's really, really good.
Okay, so I get done with this long run, and I was thinking, oh, I need to call Elizabeth because she's done a marathon. I need to find out what she took with her actually on the marathon course, and, like, if she didn't take her fuel belt, where she kept stuff, you know? I was thinking, I don't really want to take my fuel belt because... I'm going to need more than what's on the fuel belt anyway, like, as far as fluids. And so I might as well just go with what they have on the course, you know?
Yes,
and
I agree.
It's pretty hard to not have fluids, you know? Like, that's something that most races are consistent with. They might not be far on the solids part, you know? Like,
yeah.
But their water and Gatorade, they're pretty consistent, usually.
Right. Mm-hmm.
At least in U.S. races. I don't know about international, but... Okay. So I'm like, hey, Elizabeth, what did you do for your marathon? And here's what she said.
I brought along with me, for 26.2 miles, I brought along with me 5 goos. And I only used 4 of them, but I brought along 5 just in case. And I tucked them in my sports bra.
So what was your okay, we'll get to the location where you put them in a second, but
okay.
What was your strategy as far as when you took them?
Well, at that point, it's different now than it was then.
Okay.
But I'll go over what I did at that point. I did a goo every 50 minutes, so every 5 miles, basically. I did a goo.
Oh, that's kind of like the little guidelines they put on him, like 15 minutes before every 40, before every hour or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. For every, I think on the goo packs it says every 45 minutes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So basically,
and always drink it with liquid. Yeah.
Right.
And it recommends always drinking with 4 ounces of liquid, which I did do that. I always do that because if anybody out there has ever experienced goo tummy, that's the worst thing you can ever experience ever. And so, yeah. And what that is when you take too many goos too fast, you just get this horrible, horrible, horrible stomach. Like, it's just absolutely awful, and you want to throw your guts up completely. So don't take too many together too fast, or you're going to get goo tummy, and that's a terrible thing to experience. Mm-hmm. So I took one every 50 minutes, so every 5 miles. But okay. What I do now is completely different from what I did then.
Okay.
I don't know why it's changed, but it works for me now, so whatever. At the 20-minute mark, whether I'm at mile 1 or mile 16, I'm taking a goo at 20 minutes, always. And I don't take anything before, so it's just like I eat before the hour, an hour and a half before, like normal. And then at the 20-minute mark, I take a goo. And then every 45 to 50 minutes after that. So basically, I would be up one goo.
Okay.
If I was to do a marathon.
Okay. Interesting. Like I've been
just because I don't know why the 20-minute mark. I don't know. I just get lost.
Like you need a boost or something.
Yeah. I don't know why, but it's worked for me all training season. So that's what I would consistently do for the marathon.
I've been a little different. I've been trying to take a goo right before I leave. Like basically, I take right before I'm about to gear up. I take one. So, like, before I put my shoes on and my MP3 on and, like, all my junk, you know, I take a goo, and then I get all geared up. So it probably is about 10 to 15 minutes before I actually start running.
See, That's good.
Yeah, so that's been working for me. And then I've been able to get between 8 to 10 miles before I need another one.
Wow. So you're running, like, an hour and 20 minutes before, hour and 40 minutes even, before you take another goo.
But I'm drinking, like, Powerade in between there, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't say that. Okay, on my fuel bells, I have 2 8-ounce bottles, and that's all I've ever needed as far as fuel belts go.
Oh, wait,
but,
you only have 2 bottles?
Yeah, but they're the bigger bottles.
So maybe they're
about
16 ounces.
No, they're not 16. They might be 10 or 12, but they're definitely not 16.
Well, are they like a size of a pop can? A Coke can, whatever you call it?
No, they're smaller than that. I think they're 10 ounces. I'm pretty sure they're 10 ounces. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to look up. Oh, okay. 2 bottle. I'm going to look it up. See what it looks like.
Okay.
Because I haven't. You got this after I.
So basically, I have diluted, majorly diluted, amino vital in those bottles.
Okay.
Usually.
Yeah. I see. They're just slightly bigger than I have. Yeah. You probably have 10-ounce bottles.
Yeah, 10-ounce. That's what I thought.
But then. Man, that doesn't seem like much. See, I have a 4-bottle one, but I actually wish I had a 6-bottle one. because the way I look at it is, if I was doing a shorter run, I could always just leave 2 at home. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, definitely.
But if I, it's always, like, it's better to have more than not enough. Because you can always.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. But.
I get really agitated with stuff around me. I don't like being confined. So the 2 bottles has worked out perfectly for me all season, it seems like. But I do normally refill one of them by the time. But I just ration out as it goes, it seems like. But I always drink water with my goo, always, always. And if you don't do that, people, let me recommend that up front.
Yeah.
Drink water with your goo.
Oh, I was looking on, reading on Triscoop a while back, or maybe a week or two ago, and one of the guys on there, I think it was Iron J, he said that he went to the New England Multisport Show, and Fuel Belt was there, and they have a whole new line of fuel belts coming out that are completely different. Yeah. They're not, well, he said they had them at the show, but they're not actually, like, on the market.
On the market?
Yeah, they were, like, what do you call them, demos, or I don't know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but...
Ooh, that's exciting.
I know, because I'm excited to see what kind of advances they're going to come up with, or they have come up with, I guess I should say.
Okay.
So, because he said that they look completely different, so...
Really? Ooh, that makes me curious. I'm excited to see it.
I know, me too. So, anyway, yeah, but I like... And, you know, Fuel Belt has totally a hold on the grasp on the market or whatever.
Yeah, domination, totally.
Yeah, because I don't even know of any other kind.
I don't either.
Except,
I don't either.
Like, the only other kinds I've seen are, like, the ones you get at Target or something that just have the one big bottle in the back.
Yeah, oh, that would make me crazy.
Yeah, because if you drink half of it, that's going to slosh around so much. It's going to be
whoosh. I know. Do you drink evenly out of your bottles?
Yeah,
I do.
I totally do. since I have four, I have like a pattern. It's like, you know how when you have a pattern how you're supposed to rotate the tires on your car?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that, because I drink out of like the front right one, and then the back left one, and then the front left one, and then the back right one.
That's hilarious. I always I spin my belt around, so it's like I drink out of the right, and then I drink out of the left, and then I drink out of the right, and then I drink out of the left. Yeah, I completely do the exact same thing. That's funny.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
So, okay, so yeah, that's what I do during super long runs. 20-minute mark, I always do a goo, and then every 45 to 50 minutes later, I do a goo, and then I always drink my super heavy-duty diluted aminoVital between.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, though, one thing, I've mentioned this on a previous show, but not for running, but while you're cycling, I really like those Cliff Shot blocks.
Yeah.
You remember?
Those
they're like
are great.
Gummy bear things. I like those a
yep.
lot. I think I'm
I
definitely going to get some more of those for bike rides. So.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway.
Okay, so again, the longest nutrition section ever.
Half the time I feel like we're not going to have anything to talk about on the show, but somehow we come up with so much.
I know.
So, okay, just to wrap things up, I guess, please, again, add yourself to our Frapper map. Check out our website at intransitduo.com, and we'd love to see where you're listening from. And
yes.
Hopefully we can kind of give little updates on who's added on there on the next show.
Oh, yeah, that would be good. I forgot about that.
We'll steal that idea from Simply Stew.
Nice. Stew. I love Stew.
Hi, Stew. and then also, just if you have any ideas on the Exercise Your Brain or just any updates for us, give us a ring at 920-482-4822.
Excellent.
Well, I think that's about it, huh?
I think so, too.
But before we totally leave you, we should give you the pump-up song of the week.
Ooh.
It's a good one, right?
Do you know what it is?
No.
I'm so excited to hear it.
I will in just a second, because
okay.
In the next second, I'll have edited out all of my deliberation time, and you will know exactly what the song is.
That's fantastic.
The pump-up song this week is by Balkan Beatbox out of New York. The song is Digital Monkey. This music is performance meets dance party, and it generates ecstatic energy by blending electronic music with hard-edged folk music from North Africa, the Middle East, the Balkans, and Eastern Europe. This song is coming at you, compliments of PodSafe Music Network. You can find it at music.podshow.com. Hope you like it.
season, beat the rhythm that's funky. I come from Middle East, but don't belong to no country. I jump from tree to tree, put my track on CD with a BBB. All the ladies in the place make me feel sexy. I got that style, you go get the taxi. I just sit down to get the trash to the fancy. Rest into the lens, I'm the monkey on the MC. I smoke the lala, we're gonna take it hala. I smoke Shakta Vayala, the highest on the scala. Velala, la, 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 li, li, li. So bring the dance and leave the guns and take it up all the way to Washington, D.C. You're the digital monkey. Jump to the beat and keep it mobile. Straight from the head, I'm coming like an X file. You die. Pick it up, we dance before we say bye-bye. I'm a